You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It starts with a sound, small, familiar, and easily ignored, like the clicking of old dog's nails across a linoleum floor. But what if that sound doesn't fade with time? What if it returns long after the dog is gone, echoing from empty rooms in the dead of night? Tonight's story isn't just about a haunted house, it's about a haunted life. A woman named Lila, who believed the strange experiences of her youth were just childhood fears. But when the whispers came back in her 20s, followed by shadows, cold breath, and phantom voices, she was forced to ask a question that chills anyone who's ever felt watched in the dark. Is it the place that's haunted, or is it me? What makes this story so unsettling isn't just the eerie encounters. It's the moments when others saw, heard, or felt the same thing. When a guest moved from the couch seconds before something struck the wall. When a boyfriend woke up to see her kneeling at the end of the bed only to find her beside him, sound asleep. Are we dealing with trauma, a brain trying to make sense of fear, or something else entirely? Something that can follow, attach, and wait? Let's get to the letter. They write, "We had this dog when I was a kid. Her name was Rags. She was a mutt, graying and gentle by the time I really remember her. She'd been around long before I could talk. By the time I was 11, she'd grown so slow and stiff that we knew her time was coming. When she passed, I cried for a day and then moved on, the way kids do. I didn't expect to keep thinking about her, but I did. Every night, in fact. And it started with a sound. At first, I figured it was the old pipes or maybe the house creaking, but it was rhythmic, soft taps, then a pause, tap, 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 silence, tap, like claws on linoleum. My bedroom was just down the hall from the kitchen, and every night I heard it, just outside my door. My parents shrugged it off. Your imagination, they'd say. I started sleeping with the covers over my head. Not because I believed in ghosts, I just didn't want to see whatever was out there. Just in case I wasn't imagining it. That was my logic. By 16, I should have grown out of that, but the covers stayed, and by then it wasn't just the clicking. I started hearing my name. Sometimes, just as I drifted to sleep, other times, it would jolt me awake like a fire alarm. Always the same tone, low, almost stern, right in my ear. Lila. Sometimes a whisper. Sometimes just breath, like someone exhaling against my cheek. I never caught my parents talking outside my door. It never happened when they were nearby. I didn't tell many people. You sound unwell when you say things like that. So I let it sink into the background, figured it was stress or hormones or whatever else makes teenagers weird. And somehow the fear just became part of my routine. The house never felt violent, just aware. When I moved out at 22, I thought I'd left it behind. My boyfriend and I got a decent apartment on the edge of Millbrook, clean, quiet, with a balcony that overlooked a tree line. I remember the first week there, I slept better than I had in years. Then the feeling came back. At first, it was just a heaviness. Like the apartment itself was holding its breath, I tried to ignore it. But little things started to stack, lights dimming, drafts where there shouldn't be any, the floor creaking even when we weren't moving. But it was the door that really got to me. Our bedroom door sat just across from the bed. At night, with the hallway light off, I could see the faint outline of it, just enough contrast to notice when something passed in front of it. I'd lie there, staring, trying to make out if it was my eyes adjusting. But then the shape would shift. A definite dark figure would move side to side, never fully entering, just pacing, I told my boyfriend. He didn't take it seriously until it happened when he was awake. It's probably headlights from the street, he said, even though the window faced the trees and not the road. That's when the touching started. It was never a full hand, just pressure. A poke here, a prod against my calf. Once it was so sharp, I sat up thinking my boyfriend had kicked me. But he was dead asleep, his back to me. The breath came next. It's hard to explain how you know breath when it touches your ear. It's warm, moist, human. And when it comes out of nowhere, in a locked apartment in the middle of the night, it feels like your soul wants to crawl out of your skin. I would lie there frozen, too afraid to turn over. The most direct moment was when we both heard the voice. We were talking in bed one night, laughing about something stupid when we heard it. A male voice from the living room. Hello? Clear as day, like someone had just walked in and didn't expect to see us. We froze. My boyfriend grabbed the bat from under the bed and we searched every inch of the apartment. No one. Nothing. Not even an open window. It became a pattern. Not every night, but enough. Then our cats started acting up. We had two, quiet, older, usually kept to themselves. Suddenly, they were on edge. They'd stare into corners, follow movement we couldn't see, and sometimes hiss at empty air. I tried to brush it off, but when animals start behaving like that, it's hard not to listen. One night, I was curled up on the couch with both cats asleep beside me. The apartment was silent, and then, from the office just down the hall, I heard it. The slow squeak of the chair, back and forth, someone sitting, shifting. The cat sat up at the same time I did. They didn't run. They just watched. Eyes locked in the dark hallway. My heart was pounding. I didn't move. I just whispered, "Do you hear that?" Of course, they didn't answer, but they stayed alert until the sound stopped. I should have left then, but moving isn't easy. And I kept hoping it was stress or sleep deprivation, that somehow I was carrying childhood fear into adulthood, that it wasn't something real, but it was real, and it wasn't done with me. I left that apartment as soon as our lease ended. We didn't even finish packing properly. I just remember thinking, I don't care where we go, I just want to feel normal again. And for a while, the next place delivered. It was newer, brighter. The layout was more open, and we were on the top floor with no neighbors above. I felt safe. But that feeling didn't last. It started small. Not the same patterns from before. This was different. There was no shadow at the door, no whispers, just slamming. Doors would violently shut as I passed them, not gently creaking, closed, slamming, always behind me, always when I was alone. I checked for drafts, closed all the windows, nothing. The place was sealed tight. I even had a friend stand next to one while I walked past. Nothing happened. But when I was alone, it would start again. Then came the boy. One night I woke up around 3 a.m. I didn't move right away. I was just coming out of a deep sleep. But something felt off. I opened my eyes and saw a child standing at the foot of the bed, not moving, just there. He couldn't have been older than 10. He had short hair, pale skin, and no clear expression on his face. He just stared. I blinked, sat up, and he was gone. I chalked it up to a hypnopompic hallucination. I've read about those. Your brain still dreaming as you wake. It was the rational answer. I clung to it. But then my boyfriend said something the next morning, casually. While brushing his teeth, he said, "Did you get out of bed last night?" I paused. "No, why?" He turned off the faucet. "I woke up around 3 and thought you were kneeling at the foot of the bed. You were facing the window, but then I turned and saw you next to me, asleep." I didn't say anything. Not right away, because I didn't know what to say. Things escalated after that. We were watching a movie one evening, just a random weeknight. My friend Olivia was over. We were all sitting on the couch. Halfway through the film, she stood up abruptly and walked across the room to stand near the front door. Not panicked, just moved. 2 seconds later, there was a bang. not like a knock. It sounded like someone took a hammer to the wall behind where she'd been sitting. Loud enough that we jumped, loud enough that I screamed. We turned on the lights. Nothing had fallen. Nothing was broken. Olivia stood there blinking, confused. "Why did I move?" she asked. She genuinely didn't remember standing up. That's when I stopped pretending this was coincidence. I started thinking about patterns, about how it's always followed me. From the house I grew up in to every apartment since. I'd convinced myself that I was leaving it behind each time, but it never stayed put. I even wondered if I was somehow carrying it with me, like a scent on my skin, invisible but clinging. I tried researching the new place. No history of violence, no deaths. The land wasn't built on anything notable. Nothing came up. It was just a condo complex built in the early 2000s. I checked the others too. Nothing. That's when I started thinking about my family. My great-grandmother on my mom's side was always referred to as odd. My mom used to say she'd see people who weren't there. My aunt called her sensitive. I just thought she had dementia. But what if she didn't? What if she saw the same things I did? I started remembering moments from my childhood. My mom staring off into space, then brushing it off like she'd just been tired. Or how she'd sometimes pause in the middle of conversations, like she was listening to something else. Maybe it wasn't just the house. Maybe it never was. Maybe some of us are just open. I've heard people talk about thin places where the line between here and something else wears down. But what if people can be thin places too? What if we carry that line inside of us? That's the thought that scares me the most, that this isn't about where I live. It's not about bad energy or old ghosts. It's about me. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know if it can be fixed. Every so often, things will go quiet for a few weeks and I'll let myself believe it's finally over, but it always comes back. So now I live my life like I did when I was a kid. Covers pulled up over my head, waiting to fall asleep before anything starts. Tony, I don't know what's following me. I don't know what it wants, but I'm starting to believe I'm not just haunted. I think I might be the haunting. Thanks for taking time to read this. Lila. Lila's story leaves us with more questions than answers. A series of homes, a timeline of events, each one echoing with footsteps, whispers, and shadows that never stay gone for long. But the most unsettling thread running through it all is her. Some might argue what she's experiencing is psychological, rooted in trauma, unresolved fear, maybe even a neurological sensitivity passed down through generations. Conditions like sleep paralysis, hypnopompic hallucinations, or inherited anxiety could account for a few moments. But not all of them. Not the bang behind Olivia, not the dual sighting of a child and Lila at the foot of the same bed. Skeptics will say our minds are powerful storytellers, that grief and fear can distort memory. The two people in a heightened emotional state might interpret natural sounds as supernatural. But what if Lila isn't just reacting to fear? What if she's generating something? We often picture hauntings as something we walk into, a room, a cursed home, a place soaked in sorrow. But what happens when the haunting moves with the person? When a life becomes a lightning rod for the unexplained? There's an ancient belief found in cultures across the world that some people are more porous, that they attract what others never see. And in some cases, what they attract isn't just curious, it's attached. So is Lila haunted? Or is she something more disturbing, an unwitting beacon in the dark? Maybe she doesn't need to fear the house, the voice, or even the boy at the end of her bed. Maybe they're all afraid of her. Until next time, keep your eyes open. And if you hear someone say your name in the middle of the night, don't answer.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.